Hello, beautiful people. It is Lala Kent with my right hand and my brain, Jessica Walter.
Hello, everybody.
Dude, we got Brock on the podcast today.
Very exciting. We're pre-recording this just a few days because when this airs, where will you be, Lala?
I'll be in Mexico. Yay! For Brock and Sheena's wedding.
That's really exciting.
It's exciting. I'm so happy for them. You know how I feel about just marriage in general.
I do.
But you know what? I am totally happy to go and celebrate love.
Yeah.
So that is, and I can't wait to see Summer Moon.
Oh.
There's just nothing sweeter than, you know, two yes. people just acknowledging the love they have.
Yeah.
And like making a commitment before, I mean, in my mind, it's going this way. Making yeah. a commitment before God and this little human being that's a part of both of them.
Getting goosebumps. Look at you beautifully stating this.
I don't know.
I love
I'm like,
that.
Fuck marriage. I'm going to cry.
No, that's so exciting. I can't wait to see. Well, I'm just like, I'm going to look at all the stories and see what everyone wears. I'm dying to see Sheena's dress.
I am too.
Do you know what you're wearing?
No, I'm you actually going to leave doing this podcast and mm-hmm. I need to go shopping.
Okay.
I need to go shopping for Mexico.
Yeah.
All right. So you know how I took Ocean to Newport Beach?
Yes.
So we were staying in a hotel room and there was the pack and play that I put her in. And, you know, she's very easy. Like, she's kind of just adjusted to mm-hmm. the way things are because it's been an adjustment from the time she was 7 months. So, like, I can leave the TV on and have her in the same room as me and she'll go to sleep.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But this night, Gigi was getting her super hyphy. And she was, like, putting hats on, rolling around. And everybody and their dog commented and they were like, you need a slumber pod. So I'm like, what is this slumber pod?
Yeah.
I look it up. It's like a full-on, like, pod, like a tent pod
okay.
for your baby.
That you take on trips?
Yes.
And it's just like they sleep in there?
They sleep in there. I mean, I'm going to show you a picture, but yeah, I'm telling you what. It was like one message after the other saying you need a slumber pod. So now I'm going to look into just getting one because.
A slumber pod.
I mean, I kind of want to get in it.
Let me see. Oh, this is so cool. It legit looks
like a tent.
I mean, just Google it. Yeah, it looks like a tent. You know what? I'm looking at those little things that bend. That's probably hard to set up too, just like a tent.
Do you really think?
Setting up a tent, I have tried so many times and failed every
time.
Well,
it came highly recommended. Well, so maybe, if any of yeah. my moms out there have a slumber pod, Jess is saying it looks very complex.
It looks like a tent, you guys. It looks like those.
Well, look at what you do. You put it over the pack and play.
Oh, maybe it just folds then.
Maybe it does. I don't know. But I think I might get one. And it looks like it's easy to pack. Anyway, that happened. And also a lot of people asking me how Ocean sleeps through the night. Mm-hmm. They're like, I went through my DMs today.
Yeah.
And it was like one after the other. Slumber pod. How does Ocean sleep through the night? I don't know how I got that to happen. My friend's kids usually wake up in the middle of the night. Ocean has slept through the night since, I want to say, like 6 months.
Really?
Yeah, because I did sleep train. And
that's what I was going to ask. Sleep
I
training.
I did.
Okay.
And obviously, as a mom, you know your kids cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they're fussing and they just need to self-soothe. You know when something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know when it's a diaper change. So when I would put her in there, and it was hard because you hear your kid fuss and you want to go in and cuddle and protect them. But I also know that it can become a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I slept in my parents' bed until I was like 12.
You did?
Yes.
Why?
I was just terrified.
Of everything?
Of everything.
Was Easton the same way?
No.
Really?
He was a champion child. So that's why I was like, I'm going to sleep train even though it is hard. I think it'll be worth it. And I'll tell you what, I put her down between 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
That chick knocks out. She woke up today at like 9:30.
She's so healthy, it seems. Every time I see her, she's because I've nannied before. I've mentioned that on the podcast. And sometimes I would come in and the babies would be like, they looked exhausted.
Yeah.
And all day they'd be lethargic. And I'm like, what is going on? And I bet it's because, I mean, they woke up throughout the night. And you can tell she gets a lot of sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's revived.
She's revived.
And, you know, she had like a long day the day before because she was elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
At the LA Zoo, which literally killed me. Everyone knows how I am with animals. Yeah. I deep dive into certain zoos. She went to the LA Zoo.
So the LA Zoo is not a one that we support? I've never done the research.
I love that she was there.
Okay.
But I was like, great. I hope she's having fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to, personally, this is just me, I have to do, I haven't been to a zoo since I was like 13, but I have to do the research because if they're not one of the good zoos,
nope,
I want them to shut down.
Yeah.
And hand over their animals to one of the good ones.
I know, there's so much wrong with this world.
I know, like it's heartbreaking.
You know, we posted about the carriages in New York and then now it's like.
Yeah.
That yep. the horse rider and now they're showing where they stay.
And I regret now not saying something because in New York I was like, it's sick, it's disgusting. And now I regret not shaming the people
on them.
No, who were going on them.
I know.
Now I have been texting my best friend from home who lives in New York and I'm like, when can we set up a protest? Mm-hmm. Like, we need to be shaming everyone who's paying for this. Like,
I know. They're protesting right now. And we go to BravoCon in New York in October. Mm-hmm. And I think I may roll up.
Oh, I'll go with you.
And shame all of them.
Shame all them.
Wake up, y'all.
I'll hold pictures or hold posters of the facts. How many horses die per year from the carriage rides?
And that fucking, like, whatever they call the guy.
Loser. I'm sorry, I'll say it.
Trying to like, get the horse up. I wanted to fuck him up so bad.
100%.
And I'm not violent. But I was like, you stupid piece of shit.
Yep.
This poor animal with no voice. Yep. And this is how you're treating it?
Taking the whip, get up. And
I wanted to whip his ass.
He's disgusting.
Disgusting.
And the horse was already skin and bones.
I know.
Already abused.
No, it makes me sick. Go to my Instagram, sign the petitions that I'll be posting. Disgusting. Please. I will not let up. I will continue to be the crazy person that trolls anyone who goes to a zoo and doesn't do research, anyone who goes on these horse and carriage rides, anyone who goes to SeaWorld. I turn into an Instagram troll.
Yeah.
Educate yourself.
And I can't stress enough, you guys, with the research I've done, how there is no, because I've so many people DM'd me and they go, well, my town does it in Christmas, but it's okay. No.
No.
Do the research. Your basic bitch ass wedding with your horse and carriage when you're like you and your husband. Oh, because you want to be Disney princess for the day.
Oh,
not okay.
My God.
None of it's okay.
Judging you. Ugh. Judging you so hardcore.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about before we go into the Brock episode, which I'm excited for, is I feel like I'm cheating on Housewives because I have become addicted to Jersey Shore. And I can't stop. I cannot stop. And now my mom is also very invested in Ron and Sammy. And
really?
I'm like, they don't end up together, Mom. No. This was like 2008 or 9. Yeah. They don't end up together. And she's like, well, why? And I'm like, you'll see. Just
I
watch.
Love Sammy. Also, you said you would take Pauly D to the Smush Room or Smash Room, whatever.
Oh, back in the day.
Not Vinny?
Vinny's very sweet, but I think Pauly D
was the guy.
In Jersey Shore is so funny.
The hair. I couldn't get past the hair.
Oh, the hair makes it. Him walking around saying cabs are here.
Yeah.
And t-shirt time. The whole thing is like everything's working for me.
That's
I don't
so
know
funny.
Why, but it's working for me.
That's funny. Do you watch the Jersey Shore, the ones that are out now?
No, Family because Reunion? I started on season one and then I'll maneuver my way into Family Vacation.
Family Vacation. Oh, I called it Family Reunion. Okay.
Maybe it is Family Reunion.
I think it's Vacation.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All I know is it's amazing. I haven't watched Housewives in like an entire week and I feel so guilty.
You'll get back to it.
I'll get back to it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick little break and we will be back with Sheena's baby daddy.
Sheena's baby daddy and now husband.
Almost
when
husband.
When this comes out, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Congratulations, Sheena's husband. Back.
All right. We'll be right back. The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming, finally. And you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine. And you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala. Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually, every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because coverage repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/GTL today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Welcome back. We have my boy, where every time he arrives, I go, "Crikey, it's bro."
In the flesh, baby. How we doing?
We're good. How are you?
I mean, it's been good. It's been a good day. A little stressed out with the timing of everything coming up, but super excited. To be honest, we just had to cancel flights and rebook other flights. So
no, Sheena texted me this morning and said, "I need to know what flight you're on. We booked our flights in April, and now they've completely switched it up. Mm-hmm. They have us doing layovers, and then
we were going to Houston with a warning this morning that your flight might be canceled, delayed because of storms." And so I was like, "Honey, we can't do that flight." So
no.
So we relooked and we actually jumped on the next day. We'll lose like 6 hours, but it works out better for Summer. Everybody flying out there. So
are you flying with Summer? Or is she flying on a separate flight?
Look, Summer's flying straight with us. I mean, she's been a good flyer. We've taken her to Hawaii once. We've only done. I say this. I've said this before, but she slept in my arms the whole flight. So we got all easy with that one. Now her nap schedule's 2 hours, so the flight's at around 10, so hopefully we'll be fine.
Knock her right out.
Knock her out. She'll take a nap, and if she doesn't, I'm here for it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. You know what? Ocean has always been kind of on my schedule. There are days where it's like we're home and she gets a nap in, like a regular schedule, and other days I'm like, you either have to take a nap on the beach because it's party time, or like you're not going to get a nap. And I'm in a different situation because my kid is bounced back and forth. She's constantly seeing new faces. Mm-hmm. It's like very much, I don't want to say chaotic, but she kind of has had to adjust from the age of 7 months, right?
Yeah.
She goes over to the other house. She's got different bottles. She goes over to the other house. She's got, everything is different.
Yeah.
So she kind of is just like very flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, when you came down to San Diego, honestly, when you put her to bed and walked out and I'm there with Summer, I was just kind of like, what? She asleep?
Wait, what do you do? Do you have to rock Summer to sleep?
So we were giving her the love. And then like, ideally you'd like to make them feel sleepy and then put them in their crib with their eyes kind of like doing the gaze.
Yeah. Right.
The glaze over. But yeah, we never made, she was just asleep and we're like, "Oh, this is nice." But it'll be like 30 to 45 minute time period. So when Lala visited with Ocean and her mom, now yeah, bedtime, like, "Come on girls, bedtime." I take Summer up. I see them go into the back room and then they just walk back out. I was just like... That was like a minute. And then I was just in my head contemplating life at that point as a parent. I was like, "Damn, I'm really going to step this one up."
And but then because you are like, Summer's used to falling asleep in your arms. I'm telling you what, me taking a long flight with Ocean would be a nightmare because she, when she's done, wants her bed, her bubba. She doesn't want
She's out.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just what she wants. Like, she may doze off for a second, but a 5-hour flight, nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Just going to Utah, hour and 30, I was like, take a nap.
How was, so you have flown with her on the short flights, 2 hours, 3 hours?
She wants to sing. She wants to run around.
She was a lot younger though, right? Or no?
No, she was younger.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure we may be okay now. But yeah. You guys got your flight situated. I mean, you're the Come most important. Away. Without you guys there, we're just there watching nothing, really.
I'll see you.
We're there. We're going for you. Don't get it twisted. I'm excited.
Yes.
As fuck.
For anyone who doesn't know, Brock and Sheena are, we can say this, right? Getting married.
It was a secret until now.
It wasn't a secret.
There's nothing. Mate, we've been married since we've been together, I feel like. Like you asked, what's going to change? Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
Do you think the way you look at her is going to change?
I mean,
like, did you look at her differently when she became the mother of your child?
Yes. Because it was like I saw her struggling as a parent sometimes and then like stepping up as a parent. So it's just like I see her go through painful and I see her like grow from it. And then there I find those messages there. So 100%, like more respect. And even like today, like when I say my tits, we have our tit for tats.
Right.
If I say something that like I normally would say, which would be offended, upset her, I generally would just let it rock and roll and be like, okay. But like immediately once I said it, I knew I shouldn't say those things to her. I knew it hurt her. So I went up and gave her a big hug. I was like, that was stupid of me to say that. I'm in the wrong. And I put my foot in my mouth all the time. But I was glad like for her, I can catch myself. And I was glad I can get into that because it was just a lesson learned. Like I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to upset her. And then like the stuff she goes through already, with, like you guys have seen it for 10 years. I'm like, that's why I get really reactive.
Right.
It's the only way I can do it with her. I want to react and save the world from her now. And it gets me in trouble, you know? Here we are. But no, when we first came onto the scene, it definitely rocked the boat of how I was really kind of just like short with my words, shooting from the hip. And so I definitely need to learn that. And I think it's a lesson for everyone to see, especially once you see yourself on TV, guys.
It's like the perfect mirror, right?
It's just like no one wants to see that. They're like, did I say that? I didn't do that, did I? But you did.
Mm-hmm.
You did. And you got to look at it and then you got to think about it. So here we are.
Yeah. And then you do it and you've got to deal with the guilt and all that and then relive it however many months later where you're like, God. And we've all moved past it. But then you get to see what everyone said about you and then you're just triggered all over again.
I can't imagine.
So let's talk about this. A lot of people, well, the last time people saw you and I together was last year at the reunion, all right? And I initially reached out to you, Brock, and said, I want to do a podcast episode where we can squash the beef, basically. And even though you and I have done that, I also want to create a safe space for you to kind of let people see who you are. Because I've had the luxury of getting to know you over the past, what has it been? 8 months, 10 months. And you are number one. Let's talk about the cooking. He's a terrific cook. All right.
You're a cook. You're a chef.
So bomb.
I would call it a chef.
Burgers. No, it is bomb. So like that stole my heart as well as seeing him with his daughter, seeing him with Sheena. But what was last year like for you?
It was a roller coaster, and you can say that in the actual literal term of like there were so many highs, there were so many lows, and the end, at the end of the ride, you're kind of like left like just sitting there like what was that, you know? Especially when I had so many values of myself, I have so many like standards that you set for yourself, and then when you see yourself back on TV, when you go through all these experiences with everybody. I couldn't be prepared for that. You know, I thought I handled it in the most appropriate way throughout the season where I turned around and I spoke about my truths and I left it at that. And that was the hardest part, was realizing I actually have to talk about this in public, because before we ever had any conversations like this, and when we even spoke about it, when the first started talking about my kids, it was on me. I spoke about it with Randall, yourself, and Sheena when we were out in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, I felt like, oh, this will, it's just, I want to address the elephant in the room. Like I do have my two kids and I'm never ashamed of them. I'm not any of that. I didn't try and hide that. I was more ashamed of kind of my actions towards how I ended up in my situation.
Right.
And I guess I never really spoke about that because it's a hard thing to talk about.
It's a hard thing to talk about. And also it's such a private and delicate topic that you only want to speak about that in a safe environment. you know?
Yeah.
And thanks to me, I was like, safe environment means the world.
No, yo.
Did you think of that though, Brock? I'm curious, as a viewer, you're bringing up your kids. Did you think this isn't necessarily, yeah, right now it's just a couple of us, but it's not going to be within a few months, you know?
That was where I'm very naive in the situation of the show. Mm-hmm. I really felt like that is a part of my life. I'm not ashamed of my past. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have done things differently, but that was that's a chapter, a big part of my life. And so when we started talking about it, I was like, no, we'll keep it. I don't want to talk about it. Like, let's try and avoid. But that was for my own protect. That was for everyone. You know what I mean? I didn't know why I wanted not to talk about it, because there was something there. Well, for the biggest one was because my ex was never going to approve of us having a conversation about it then. Mm. Now, different story. But then it was kind of like we weren't even talking. And so to kind of have the conversation about my ex, how they feel about the kids, I always felt like I was never entitled to have those conversations. Mm. And so when I was briefly talking about the kids, I'm like, yeah, we don't see each other. I really wanted to kind of like set the standard. Like, I understand a separation and a new partner with a kid, with Lala and Randall, and we had this conversation. Now, I think that was kind of the environment I was in. I forgot that this is the show that you guys have. It's just like such an imprint on people. And people imprint to every one of you, yourself, to Lala, to even all the cast members. People find their people within you when you watch the show. And so the biggest one was like the aftermath of once the stuff started coming out was kind of like, wow, the impact that it had on many people, positive and negative, but you always read the negative, right? And so
the negative always sticks harder than the positive.
It always gets there. So I was greenhorn, but I just didn't expect that, you know? That was the biggest one.
Did Sheena warn you before going into this situation? Because you know Sheena, I've always said, has one of the best hearts in the entire world. Sometimes Sheena goes into things and she leads with her heart and doesn't think about, because it's not natural. Mm. It's not natural to think about what everyone is going to think that's watching, because in real life, mm-hmm. we just live.
Yes.
Right? We're not worried about what Catherine in freaking South Dakota thinks, because who the fuck is she?
Yeah.
But guess what? Catherine from South Dakota got an opinion, and she's going to be sliding into your DMs, writing on every freaking IG blog. Mm-hmm. You don't think about that stuff. Did she say to you, the internet is a crazy place, I need to know what's going on with you and your situation, because it could very well be brought up on camera and we got to be prepared?
Yeah, she was definitely up. We didn't have that conversation in detail, but it was more of like, I know you don't want to talk about your kids, so don't talk about them. And I was like, okay, cool. And then so here we are in Palm Springs, and I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. And we talked about it, and I was like, all right, look, like I didn't want to continue this conversation, but then obviously from that, it brought up concerns for yourself. It brought up other people's concerns. And so I understand now, looking back, people still want to know that story, regardless of how bad it was or everyone's how it happened. People still now curious, like, okay, then what is that situation? Because they're invested into you guys. And I didn't know that. I didn't realize the impact you guys have on the world.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes, because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So do you feel comfortable in a Cliff Notes version talking about how old you were when you had your first two kids and what led to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, I could do it a Cliff Notes version. I was very young when we met. We were like 16 when we first met in high school. 16, 17, yeah, sorry. Yeah. And then through that, we started dating. Then we were off and on. We're doing the high school breakup, get back together stuff. And then we actually fully split when I moved to Europe to play rugby. And then when I was in Europe, I flew her over. She had a boyfriend at the time. I was like, well, here's a flight. She came over. We called it quits. I remember that day we said, look, we traveled around. It was a good breakup, actually. We're like, we traveled around the world. And we're in front of the Notre Dame in France for the last week I was playing in France. And we're like, this doesn't work. Like, we're not happy with each other. And then the next day was when we found out that she was pregnant. That night we went out to dinner. And we went out to our friend's dinner, and then she was like across from us, and she was like, oh, my boobs. And then all the girls kind of screamed, and all the rugby boys were like, okay. Went home, did a pregnancy test, and we found out we were pregnant with my boy Eli.
Wow.
And so we had a conversation. We were going back to Australia that next week, and so we went back to Australia, and during that, it was kind of like step up to the plate. I was raised a Mormon. I talked to my mom, you gotta step up. And so we did. We ended up going back to France for a couple
of years. And how old were you?
So I was 19 at the time.
Oh my gosh.
Baby.
Yeah. Baby.
So we did that. We went back to France together. We lived there for half of that season. Things weren't going too well with the rugby club. Financially, they went under. And so then it kind of put a lot of pressure on us and all the rugby players internationally. And then we went back to Australia. I was in a midlife crisis, only at like 20, 21 at this time. I had a professional career. I just lost it. Have a kid. And then we're in a very toxic relationship. And it's not for that. She traveled the world and gave it all up for me to live my dream. And right. That was the bigger pressure, was having my partner there in a different country just supporting 100%. So she didn't have her thing. She didn't have her time or anything like that. And that was kind of a big pressure for both of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then so when we went back to Australia during that period of time, we broke up, we got back together, we went to counseling, and then the counselor was like, you guys don't need to be together.
Right.
He's like, you definitely, like, this is too far gone. Like, there's just so much animosity towards each other that you're better off being apart. So we separated. And then as we were separating, still trying to like backwards and forwards, we found out we were 14 weeks pregnant with our little girl.
That, can I tell you, that's when it happens, because passionate relationships will do a quote-unquote passionate relationships, mm-hmm. which are usually toxic.
Toxic.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's like the explosion of a fight is so passionate that the making up sex. Is like, you know, and people, that's when a lot of babies are conceived.
It was definitely a surprise for both of us.
So and what's the age difference between them?
They're a year.
So close.
So close, okay. Yes. Okay. We had Eli, we moved back to Australia, mm-hmm. and then we had that situation pop up. And at that point, again, it was like we got an ultrasound. We saw a full-blown baby. It wasn't like a fetus anymore. She was fully developed and just growing her best life. So we were at 14 weeks. So that was a point where we decided to stay separated.
Okay.
But we were going to figure out how we go the next step. But we were broken up. I was in a different state. And then during that time, I had an argument with her dad over the phone. And that's when the domestic violence order got brought in.
Okay.
And then they related back to our 3-4 year history of just angry fighting with each other to back to when we were 19 and we got into an argument and I did slap her.
Yeah.
It wasn't the cause of the domestic violence, but it should never have happened. And so that way, when I speak about that, I know I should never have done that. And it's the one time I have. And then in the domestic violence order, what was brought up was kind of my background of being from New Zealand, my parents being split up, my domestic violence when I was growing up. And so they kind of like leaned into all these things. And then I wasn't in court to appeal it. When they served me with the papers, I wasn't present because I didn't get served. The officer serving me, and this is ridiculous, the officer serving me was out of the country on holiday. So the papers sat on his table. He comes back, lets me know that I didn't appear in court, so it's been upheld. So I need to apply for a court appearance to get it dropped. We go to the court 4 months later, and it gets dropped. I submit my evidence. And we got dropped. And then we started talking again. I got to see my little girl. I got to spend some time with Eli. And during that 4 month breakup period, I was already transitioning to go, what happens if I can get a workout in the NFL? And so that was kind of where I was like, I can't play rugby this season. Where can I go play professional sports somewhere? What can I do? And obviously she was in a new relationship and still is with the same guy. And this is a very important message that never got shown or talked about because I didn't want to talk about their relationship. Now that we've made up and we're actually talking, legend of a guy. And from the beginning, when they started dating and I was out of the picture, he stepped up to the plate. He's always been there for the two kids. And that was where our period of time of not seeing him. Once I moved to America, he stepped up to a point where they didn't need to have me or my mom or my family sitting around going, oh, how's the kids? Because it's kind of antagonizing to their parenting.
Right.
And so cliff note, fast forward. As we went through that period of the relationship where that kid, I moved to America, it just grew bigger and bigger apart because I wasn't there and the kids had somebody there. And then the conversation came up with his family and them where you're not stepping up. You say you are, but you're not. And in my head, it's hard because when we talked about it on the show with everybody watching, I've never spoken about that period ever. And in my head, I was like, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm doing it. But I never internally processed the damage I did, the damage that affected the kids and what all of that. I never took that into account.
You know, I have, and obviously with my situation and you hear a story like that and you want to say like, why didn't you fight harder? Why didn't you give more of a damn? And what I'm hearing with this is you made the best decision for those two kids. How is their life going to be fulfilled with stability, consistency, and that is very important for children. Mm-hmm. And if you felt like it was the best decision, and their mom felt like that was the best decision, it sounds like you two agreed on this.
I guess we agreed on it, but I took it as like, you're not gonna, you know, I took it as the immature version of like, oh, you're gonna take me, like, this guy's not gonna rate. Like, I was really upset about not having access, but at the same time, I knew deep down that that was the best thing for the kids. And it still is. And so like that was the hardest thing for me to kind of remind myself like, okay, I'm their dad, but I'm not the right person to raise these kids. Mm. They're in a good situation with somebody that is treating them like their own kids. They have now a little sister and he's been around the whole time. He's taught. And it was just like, it wasn't an ego trip. It was just hard to get my head wrapped around that fact that, you know what? I did have two kids, but I wasn't a good dad for them.
You know, I think that being a dad or a mom, that's not a right, that's a luxury. Mm. You don't just get the title of a dad because you shot some sperm. Mm-hmm. You don't just get to be a father. Mm-hmm. You know?
I agree, yes.
Yeah. So I think you saying that, you know, you were obviously very young and we can sit here and say this is what you should have done and we can go back and forth all day long. The bottom line is how are the two children doing? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. It's about
I think about this all the time because obviously my world blew up and you want to think that everything is cookie cutter, but at the end of the day, take all the shit out of it with both parents. What is going to benefit these kids so they can go out into the world and not have, you know, years and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fucking therapy to get over the traumas that the parents have caused. Mm-hmm. And so I respect the decision that you made. I respect their mom. And I am wondering, do they know you?
Yeah. So that was the harder part because once we started reconnecting and talking to them, Winter had no problem coming up on the FaceTime and being like, hey, like, how are ya? But then Eli didn't want to. And it's still at the point where he, for him, I was a big influence with him. And when I wasn't around, he was three. But he still knew that and he still felt that. So we're still working on that relationship. The rule is it's up to the kids. And so me and their mother text backwards and forwards. I just check in on them, how they doing. And Trevor, their kid's stepdad, is this, or their dad, is an absolute legend. He's like, we'll grab a beer when you're in town. Like, not a problem. Like, let's not make this a thing. Let's just move forward, which is what I was doing. I was making it a thing, wasn't I? I was avoiding the hard things. I was like, yeah, I'm going to sort that out. And then after this came out, and once it came out on the show, it really just came at me with like, I was like, well, I just have to do it. I can't just sit there and say I'm doing something. I'm going to take care of this. How do I fix this? How do I solve the problem that I caused for myself instead of just putting it off and prolonging that hardship between me and my ex? And now we're at a better place. It's not the fact that we're homies, but she respects that I said sorry. She respects all of that. And then at the same time, I'm so happy that the kids have her.
I'm thrilled about it, and I love where you are right now. And, you know, people can give you all the advice in the world, but a situation like that, every situation is so complex, and there's so many little nuances where it's like you can't even give advice or say what you would have done because you really don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You do the best you can with the situation that maybe you created for yourself that was handed to you. And, you know, Brock and I have spoken about this a lot. In my mind, I was coming from a place because I didn't know you well. Mm-hmm. And I know Sheena, and, you know, her picker, just like my picker, has been off on many occasions. And you're waving red flags in our faces. And we're like, what? It's pink to me. And we're like colorblind as fuck.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to protect her because her heart is so pure. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My main goal in all of it was just protection. In her mind, she's like, I found the man of my dreams. And now the father of my child. What are you doing, Lala? Like, shut your fucking mouth. Hindsight, maybe I should have shut my mouth. Maybe I should have approached it in a different way. But again, you just do the best you can with whatever situation you're in.
It's just all perspective and all informational, right?
That word.
Perspective. Yeah. It's a killer. It's a real thing. Like, we can look at this newspaper article in front of us and we can look at it from different angles.
Valley mm-hmm. Times.
Yeah, well, there's only one angle you can read this one right here. What is that, page 10?
That's right. Yeah.
But in life, and I think we get offended by somebody else's perception sometimes.
We do.
And it's like, wow. And it's like, and no one's in it. Like, it's so crazy. Like, America, I love it here, but there's a different world outside of America on top mm-hmm. of that. So you add cultural differences and all that. And it's like, I love everyone back in Australia. Like, oh, you could have had the same in Australia, but I'm telling you guys, you have an accent and drive in America, you're going places. Mm-hmm. In Australia, I'm just like a tradie that's digging holes and having a chat and getting off of. Like, that's it. Yeah. Having a tinny at 10 o'clock. Like, that's it.
Right.
But over here, you can have these opportunities. And that was a hard one for everyone. Like, well, what about, it's not a cop out, bro. I come to America. I left my family to try to get out of the hole, which was low income. My mom was. We lived in projects.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in low-income areas. And the only reason I got out of that was because my last 2 years of school, I got offered a sports scholarship. So that was my way out. My education,
mm-hmm.
horrible. Okay. Case in point. I never was good at school, suffered from it a lot. And so growing up, I thought I was either going to be a dairy farmer my whole life, which is what my stepdad did and still does, or that was it. There was no other option for me. It was building. It was construction. It was trade work, hard work, and get into it. And I'm a fan of hard work. But then when I had the opportunity to play rugby at 19 or 18, I started playing that. I was like, oh, this could be a career to get my family out of the projects, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that was the driving force behind it. And since 18, when I realized like I could put my body and my skills, I was never the talented, but I'd know I'd work hard at it.
Yeah.
And that was the vision I've always had. And then within that big vision, there were sacrifices and losses that I stepped out on. But I think it's very perspective and unfair for people to be like, well, what about this when people don't understand.
People don't understand.
People don't really get. And even when I came at you and I was ripping your head off when I was pissed off in the show, I was like, bloody Range Rovers and Beverly Hills is not normal, because for me, it was a perspective of where I came from, you know?
Yeah. No, I do know. Because people can sit there and it's like, if you can't weigh in on if you were born and raised in the United States and you grew up a certain way, it's hard for you to understand like what Brock is saying. If you've never been to Australia in the situation he was placed in, You can't say you could have done that in Australia. How mm-hmm. the fuck do we know
yeah.
what you could or couldn't do in Australia?
Yeah.
And that's not ripping on Ipswich. And if anyone's listening from back home from Ipswich, I love Ippy. But listen, bro, it's not that if you
know
where.
It wasn't for you.
If you know, you know. And I think with time and just understanding that and learning, there's no playbook in life. And I think that's the best reason why podcasts are so great, because people want to hear everyone else's experiences. They want to hear another perspective. And then they're going to keep going to those same perspectives around them so they can kind of find similarities in it.
Yeah.
And reality is there's that many, you're not going to always agree. And look at the world we're in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jess and I talk about that a lot, like perspective and people coming from different areas. And just we so often judge people just based off of what you see in front of you without thinking about what that person has been through to get them to where they are. And if we don't vibe with someone, we have to at least respect the trials and tribulations they've gone through to get to where they are. Let's find common ground. I feel like we've done that. And by the way, Range Rovers and being in Beverly Hills, I mean, I'm not from anywhere that's, you know, I grew up in a very privileged area, mm-hmm. but I certainly wasn't driving around in Range Rovers, you know. I was ghost riding the fucking Ford Expedition, you know. My friend's right. going to private school, and
yeah, you had a car. No.
I see again, it's like, well, right. you had wheels,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yes.
I used to love my story. This one story of my mom is like, Mom, can I go to the movie theater? She's like, yeah, you can go to the movies. And the movie ticket in Australia, a ticket to the movie is $8. Popcorn might be like $2-3, and then like a ticket's like $3. So to go to the movies, I'm like, Mom, yeah, it's can I get $10 to go to the movies? She's like, here you go. And then so I get given $10 to go to the movies, but I still have to pay for my train ride mm-hmm. and figure it out. So this was my thing. I used to go from Ipswich to Indooroopilly, jump on the train. If like the train inspectors got on, I got off. And I just got back on the next train, or I'd run off and then jump on another carriage and just get there.
Oh,
I used to jump the train. And then and then when I get to the movie theater, I'd buy my ticket. And then when people would finish a movie, they would have their refill coupons on their popcorn and they'd throw them away. So I pull it out of the trash, grab the refund coupon, go up to the front and be like, can I get a fresh box? And you get free popcorn.
Oh,
but that was I wanted to go with my friends. I wanted to keep the normal things with my friends after school or on weekends. But that was how I did movies.
Then this this is fascinating.
Jumping trains, going through garbage.
Hey, you know what? It's what it is. One man's trash is another man's free popcorn.
Right. Okay. So then it sounds like you and Sheena probably had different upbringings or grew up a bit differently.
A little bit.
Do you think that plays in how you raised Summer? Have you had to work around that?
Oh, I love that question, Jess.
Like, listen, this is the question. This is our life.
By the way, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Because we're both like, we're doing it for the best of the best.
Yes.
And the ultimate outcome is to teach her the best of us, to mm-hmm. be honest. But we definitely a conversation. You should definitely have more than after 6 months of having a conversation with somebody or dating. You need to have those conversations because you're it's so fun. We get to imprint on her. Like we literally, and I'm in a different situation when I was when I was 19.
Yes.
I know for a fact I still was doing good things, but now I'm in a different position to actually just enjoy those moments, but it's definitely hard.
Yeah.
It's definitely hard.
I'm sure.
Yeah, no, Sheena like baby's her baby. Obviously, you know, she suffered a miscarriage. Summer is she has been through what many women have been through.
Yeah.
I can't relate, but she is just, that is her angel.
Yeah.
Right? Not saying it's not Brock's, but Brock is like, she's tough.
She'll be right.
Happy medium. Let's find the happy medium.
I'm not gonna lie. Parenting back in the day had some like back in the day was ruthless.
Yeah,
we're
ruthless,
brutal. And I think we're realizing now the impact that has on everybody. You know, especially with this like, what's the word I'm trying to say? Just with kind of like the mindfuckery, like the impact it really has,
right,
on us, right. Mm-hmm. And so we had a family argument. / open table because this is the best part about me is my family. I'm the youngest of five. My mom was with my dad. He had all five kids, and when I was two and a half, they split up, and so that rocked my whole family. We were born into the Mormon church, born and raised in New Zealand,
good old Mormons.
And so we're the family that has a split parent Right. They're out in the, in
which
the church.
Which is definitely looked down upon.
Looked down upon. Okay. And then so my eldest brother at the age of 18 was an Olympic swimmer. He was doing water polo for New Zealand. He was crushing it. Then he found a girl and then started partying and then ended up in gangs and ended up in jail for doing just stupid things, stealing cars and just going down the wrong track.
Okay.
And then my other brother, underneath him, when my parents split up, it affected him differently. He ran away at home at 14. And we're half Māori, but he's running around with like gang members and doing dumb things, in and out of juvie, stealing and doing dumb things. So, and then my other sister, that separation affected her because she ended up being an alcoholic at like 12 or 13.
Wow.
And so now she's like 18 years sober now.
Oh my God. So that's why
that's like sobriety when Dick James and all that. For me, I'm just like, I don't want to like overstep because I don't know that. But yeah, my sister's 18 years sober.
Wow.
I think she might be 19 coming up to 20. Like she's crushing it. And so then there was me and my sister, the youngest two, that just saw our whole family crumble from all of that. And so I just learned from their mistakes. I never touched a drug until I was like 20, until I came to America and finished football. And that was the end of that closure.
You're like, America's great.
Woo! What is this? Cannabis, you know? And even when I talk about it with my mom, she's like, oh, it's drugs. It's bad.
Yeah.
I was like, it's better than pharmaceutical. But anyway.
It is. Has
your family met Summer?
So my mom and my two sisters have. My two older brothers, one's in New Zealand, one's in Australia. They have not yet. But hopefully at the end of this year, we're going to go back to Australia. Of course, the pandemic was the real thing.
Yes.
But my mom and the sister, they're actually at my house right now with Summer.
They
flew over
are?
For the wedding. So they're here for the wedding. And I picked my mom up 2 days ago, my sister yesterday. And then my other sister comes in tomorrow. And then we've got the wedding. And then, that's the best part. But that's my family, right? And so like... Yeah. When I talk about perspective, like that's where mine comes from. Like I don't want to, and I feel like I just want to retire my mom. I needed her to stop working. She's a prison officer. I don't know if I haven't bragged about that enough.
She's a prison officer.
Still is. So she grew up.
And don't the inmates call her mom?
Yep. Yeah.
Is it in a all women's prison?
All men's max. Men's max.
Stop.
Yeah. So she grew up with my dad. She was working in like retail for her whole life. Did retail, worked at like a makeup artist. Like we go into like those Nordstrom's and they give you makeup. Yeah. That was my mom. And then like, and then she was like, I want to change. So she applied for the police force.
She did some change.
And then she ended up getting a government job at the men's prison. She's been there for like nearly 20 years now.
Is she a tough woman?
She's a strong woman.
Yeah.
She's strong. Like she's not like girl like an ox, but she's like she's strong and she just like, she's so much, I'm so proud of her. Like she just carries it and then she just works her ass off. So I want to, that's my goal is take care of my family because I learned all my lessons from them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that meant making those sacrifices I thought up that were appropriate at the time, I did that.
Yeah.
And that was with work, that was with football, everything. So, but that's kind of like, that's my perspective on life is because we did come from that. I remember, you know, when we were growing up, my mom had to buy our house and it was the first house she bought by herself. And I had money in the bank because I lost my finger when I was four.
Okay.
And so every year I get a check because I'm 16% whole body incompetent. Like my limb is never going to grow back.
What? Wait, what is this? I don't know this story.
Yeah.
What?
What? You didn't know?
No. So wait, let me see okay. Brock, I had no idea you only had four fingers.
Yeah. So I tell everyone it was a crocodile, but I guess I could tell everyone the real story.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it for anyone who doesn't know.
We do the crocodile story or the real story?
The real story.
Okay, fine.
Let's hear the real story.
Now, so we grew up on a dairy farm. Okay. And then one afternoon I was in the yard and it's a circular yard and there's a pin in the middle with a gate, just like a clock hand. And as it rotates around, it pushes the cattle onto the table to get milked. And when it gets to about 7 o'clock, there's a side gate and you take the bulls out of the side because you don't want the bulls to go onto the milking table because you can't milk a bull.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Okay.
That's the thing. My perspective, everybody, okay? Here's me, 4.5 years old, walk past this big bull and I walk straight past him to get him out to the side. So I walk behind him and as every day I go, and I kind of like clack my hands.
Okay.
Like, come on, get out. And instead of him getting up, it startled him and he kicked me. And so I fell back onto the gate that was behind me and it just so happened that the cover was off.
Okay.
And then I rolled my hand in. And it rolled in like gears. It caught my hand and then it crushed my first finger.
Okay.
Phalange number one, my pointer.
Okay.
And a bit of the two, but then it actually crushed all of my hand in turn. So they had to do like bone graft, skin graft. It was hectic. That was wild.
You have lost your entire hand?
I went to the, we were on the farm, so we had to go to the vet. In town,
the vet?
well, this is rural. I had to go to the vet, and then they wrapped it up in a bandage, and then I had to get airlifted to the hospital, which was like 2 hours away.
Do you remember feeling pain, or were you in shock?
Never pain, but I remember talking about it over and over. And there was the widest white I've ever seen in my life, which was my bone. And then there was a point. Yeah, it's gnarly. It was gnarly.
That is gnarly.
What does that have to do with your liver, though? Or is that different? Did you say liver?
No, just how I was raised.
No, I thought you said limb. Oh, your limb. Yeah. I thought you said back liver.
So back to how I was raised. So that happened when I was 4 and a half. And then since then, for the rest of my life, I get like $1,000 a year. I was like, cool, I'll take that, whatever. Yeah. Like that, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was going into my bank account for like 10, 12 years. So I had $10,000 to $12,000. Yeah. And so I remember my mom was buying her first house and she was short. And then she cried to me. She's like, I need to use your money to buy the house. I was like, it's fine. I own these four bricks right here.
That's really cute.
That's so sweet.
But like that's just my mom. Like, she deserves everything and she's taking care of five of us, you know? And unfortunately for her, she wears her burdens through us, our mistakes. She carries them as her own. Mm-hmm. And so like when this came out, I couldn't tell my mom to stay off social media because she cannot help herself and it just destroyed her more. And so this made that kind of like,
yeah. Do you regret asking or anything, Lala, or is it just one of those things where you're like, we could only do what we could do at the time? I thought it was appropriate, and I thought I was trying to protect Sheena.
That's
a loaded question.
I would have done it very differently.
Okay.
I would have pulled her aside and asked her, and you know, said, are you good? Mm-hmm. Do you know about this stuff? I would have done it very
differently.
Just differently.
Okay.
I don't want to say that I wish I wouldn't have brought it up, especially now with the situation I'm in. I'm very, like, I used to be protective of women. I am like beyond protective of women now.
Right.
So I think had it happened after my situation, I would have been much more delicate.
Got it. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially Sandoval, like to say that I'm on my high horse. Everyone needs to get over it. Me and the horse that's high are connected, right? I'm not falling off
the
of
cookie
it.
Is on the horse. Deal with it.
Deal with it. I'm on the horse. I enjoy it. I ain't falling off. But I would have done it differently.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I probably would have had brought Brock into the situation as well to say, I'm concerned about my friend. Even though you don't owe me anything, just give me peace of mind for my friend. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk it out. Instead, it was more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's how I feel like when the cameras are up, they kind of like encourage that. They're not going to be like, hey, you should have like a side conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of feel like, well, I got to tell you how I feel because other people feel like this. And that's like the trouble when cameras go up sometimes. And I realized that after watching, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Worst thing to do was watch those last five episodes in 24-hour span before the reunion.
Yeah.
Because then I'm just sitting there just
seething,
fuming. On top of like the first half of like, oh, okay, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just hit me. So when I went into that reunion, I didn't know what – first off, I should never have been in this view. I should never have been at that reunion. I should never have been a main cast member season one. First off.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you got the best of me. You got all of me and that was raw. But like, I didn't know how to handle myself.
Right.
And so when I was in there, even Lala said, she's like, Brock's on one. Because like, I did it. And then she wasn't there. You couldn't be a person. So there I am just yelling at a TV because I'm hurt. And it's just like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
And that was my downfall because obviously if I could have taken a second to just understand that, you know what, that happened and I'm angry at myself, but I'm taking it out on Lala, I'm taking it out on everybody else. I wish I had that common sense because I know that's within me to have that kind of temper to slow down and be aware of that. But I didn't have it that day and it did not come across.
You know
well.
What though, Brock? I could tell you were on 10. You had every right to be on 10. I was going through my own shit. There was like the bigger things happening in my life than what this reunion was. I was kind of zoned out.
Yeah.
But I shake things off pretty quickly. When people say, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. It's like, well, then what's the point of forgiving me? Because if you're never going to forget, like that doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
I literally forgive, forget,
move on clean slate. So during that moment, it was like,
whatever.
I may feel some type of way, but I'll shake it off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Did you guys?
And I'm no stranger to going off on people.
Because my problem with that was like, I never gave myself time to understand what you were dealing with. A, because we also didn't realize what we were dealing with.
Right.
You know?
Until we read
LA Times. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was another one. We didn't realize that on top of it, but I didn't even make it available in my thought process to be like, what are you going through? Because I was so hurt. I was so pissed. And it was, you know, that I think the biggest lesson for me from that is like, when you feel like I'm in that, when I'm hurt, people need to do better at being like, why are you really hurt? Because it's not for any of this. It's because you're not happy with your actions from back then, but just don't repeat it. So me being angry in that situation didn't help.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm the perfect person to go off on.
Yeah. I feel like me and you can, I feel like we have our moments, but at the same time in the real world, we kind of like dust it off our shoulders. Because the reality is, if there's a problem, you're the problem, because it's not my problem, because you're thinking it, not me. Sounds like you have a problem. I'm walking this way.
Right.
But in that, I had a problem and I should have just walked on from it and be like, perfect, whatever. What's the problem?
I think it's good to purge.
I think it is too. Did either of you reach out to the other after? Because obviously, like you said, at the reunion, tensions were high. Was there a moment where one of you reached out to the other and were like, we have to talk?
I think, Brock, didn't you reach out to me? I believe you sent me a text that said that you were sorry. And right after that, it was like, we're good, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I did reach out just because, like, once you see yourself, you're like,
whoa. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
And I get it. And the response I got on social media was valid. Mm-hmm. You know, our audience, and this is another thing you didn't even take into account, because I didn't think of it as a show. I thought of it as Sheena's close friends. And we get to have this opportunity to do these great things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was enjoying that. I was like, this is such a fun season. You know, the audience that watches it, the majority of them are females, you know,
right.
You know, and then they want to be represented properly, especially in 2022. And so that's like a big one to be aware of, you know, around the world, like there is a change happening and it's a positive change. And so my ignorance didn't help that movement, you know, and I respect that and I understand that. And so I want to make sure I can be more aware of that, you know?
Mm. I love that.
We love growth.
I love a good growth.
Love a good growth moment.
Yeah, but look, it's also good for everyone else to learn these messages
of
too.
Course.
Like,
we're all...
don't make the same mistake. It's hard to say that. Learn from other people. But that's why we get to talk about it.
Yes. We're all out in these streets just doing the best we fucking
swinging,
can.
Swinging. Just trying to survive.
Just
you know?
Trying to survive. I love it. Brock, thank you so much for being on the podcast, being so open about your past. You're a fucking champion, dude.
You're love you, honey. It's been great. Thanks for talking. And let's live on the summer. It's going to be a good summer.
I love it. We're headed to Mexico. I love you guys so much. I'll catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.